God has.
Thank you so much, Nate. I'm reading from Psalm 121, starting with verse 1 and the whole thing. I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as Nate said, earlier this year, I had the opportunity to participate along with five other men from River City in a Bible study class called First Principles. Rodney led us through this online course, which, as it says in the description, focuses on the most fundamental principles for studying and teaching the Bible. Well, having never been one to do in-depth Bible study, I figured this was a good place to start. Well, several weeks ago then, during Rodney's message, he mentioned that he'd been in a conversation where the question came up, what's your favorite chapter in the Bible? Well, I can tell you at that point in his message, I didn't have an answer. Oh, I could think of lots of stories, but a specific chapter? Not once in my life had I even considered the possibility of that question coming up. A short couple weeks later, I received a text from Rodney, and he asked me if I would pray and consider preaching for him today as he was going to be out of town. Well, having agreed to take on that responsibility, the next question that arose was, what scripture text was going to be the basis for this message? Remember, I didn't have a favorite chapter. Well, Rodney agreed to meet with me to discuss options and help with that selection. So on a bright, sunny Tuesday morning, I met with him at the Kelowna Coffee House because, of course, one wants to be awake when they're having these kinds of weighty conversations. Well, before we met, and as we reviewed what the sermon series was going to be during Advent and the Christmas Eve message, the words of a song that we used to sing at church youth groups and camps kept coming to my mind. It goes, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. When will help come to me? My help is from the Lord my God. When will help come to me? What was significant about this that I heard them over and over in my mind for several days? Well, over the years, I probably reflected on them when there seemed to be difficult times around me. No doubt, things which we considered problematic as youth were much less significant in the grand scheme of things, yet this song reminded us then, and it still applies today, that whatever circumstances or difficulties we face, our help comes from above. Trouble was, while these words might be found in the Bible, I couldn't tell you in what book or verse they were found. Many of you may be aware of the saying, it's not what you know, but who you know. Well, thankfully, Rodney knew immediately the book and the chapter that contains these words. And as I found out, the songwriter, as I often do, took artistic license with the verses. And so I didn't really know them at all. But it did come to pass that Psalm 121 is our scripture for today. And it is becoming one of my favorite chapters. So please pray with me as we invite our Holy Father to speak with us and meet us here. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father God, we are truly blessed to be able to study your word, to be able to gather freely, even if it is using technology that when the Bible was written, it would have been so foreign to even consider to those people. But thank you that you allow us to meet. Thank you that you speak to us through your word. Pray that your Holy Spirit will move among us today, that you'll touch our hearts, that you'll open our minds. Lord, and if anything I speak is not from you, that it be washed away as a vapor in the wind, but that the true meaning will come through. For in Jesus' name, amen. Well, just a year ago, on December 29th, 2019, River City Church didn't meet on that Sunday. The Sunday after Christmas, we took a sabbatical. But not wanting to miss an opportunity to gather with others to worship, Joellen and I returned to Grace Community Church to attend and reconnect with friends that we hadn't seen for the better part of a year since we joined the church plant here at River City. Well, as I prepared for this message, I happened to cross my notes from that sermon that Sunday. And what jumped out to me was the introduction that the pastor gave. At their Christmas Eve service in 2019, they had done a survey where they asked the attendees to complete the following statement. 2020 would be great if I received blank. I'm sure we all would have had an answer to that question. And maybe for some of us, we did receive what we would have put in that blank. And for others, we did not receive that answer. Well, Brooks began his message on that Sunday then with the observation that nobody wrote brokenness as an answer. Not one person said that 2020 would be great if they received brokenness. Well, as we gather on the last Sunday of the year 2020, it's my perception that we all see some way in which we received brokenness during the past year. Maybe it was a challenge to your health. Maybe it was a strained or broken relationship. Maybe it was job changes or even a job loss. Maybe the loss of a loved one or more than one loved one. Any myriad of other things that we didn't want to have happen. Like, golly, I have to work from home and I have to homeschool my kids at the same time. But we didn't see those things coming, and we couldn't, and we would have avoided them if we could, but we couldn't. So if nothing else, this past year has revealed to us that we need help. And we need help, especially in our brokenness. But God knew we would experience brokenness. God knows that in our humanity, we face things that are too much to handle on our own. Whoever said, God will never give you more than you can handle, is only telling you part of the message. In fact, the largest book of the Bible is full of those kinds of experiences. If you can imagine anxiousness, hiding in caves, being chased by armies, wondering where God is, dealing with the aftermath of sin, all of these are found in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is rather an interesting collection of songs, poems, and writings from many authors. We know that some of the authors were Moses, David, Solomon. Other authors of the other Psalms are unknown. They're anonymous to us, but they are the words of God. These Psalms were written over many years, and it's widely held that they were later gathered together and put in their current order sometime after the Israelites returned from the exile in Babylon. There are also clues or guidelines which give us some background for some of the Psalms. And if you happen to be looking at your Bible this morning, underneath the chapter number 121, it will say, A Song of Ascents. In the book of Psalms, there are 15 chapters beginning in chapter 120 that are called Songs of Ascent, where ascent means a going up. These were songs to be sung or repeated along the journey. In ancient times, the Jewish people would travel to Jerusalem to worship at the temple for designated feasts and festivals, such as the Passover, Purim, or the Festival of Lights. There'd be times when they offered the annual required sacrifices, but they also reconnected with old friends and family members that they hadn't seen for some time, and they made new acquaintances. Not all that different in some ways than some of the special holiday times and celebrations we were used to having before COVID-19 became a thing. Picture Jerusalem. It's situated high above the lowlands of Palestine. The journey for many of those coming to worship was uphill, so it was an ascent. For the traveler heading out on the long trek to worship in Jerusalem, and for us as well, it's also a metaphor for our spiritual journey. So let us walk through this psalm this morning as a family traveling in those days and take a look at what it means for us today as well. On the journey up to Jerusalem, we will be going through some rather mountainous territory. Not mountains like the Rockies of Colorado, but maybe more like the Smoky Mountains of the eastern U.S., or perhaps the Badlands of South Dakota. You know, big rocks, boulders, places for people to hide. So these mountains contain caves and places to hide, so there was always the danger of thieves, robbers lurking, looking for their next victim. In addition, there were pagan gods enshrined in the high places there for those who worship them. Verse 1 of this psalm contains both a statement and a question. I wasn't always aware of that because A, I had the wrong words, and B, the older translations weren't as clear to me. Let me give you an example. When I was a child, we heard the King James Version, which reads, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help." So to me, this sounds more like, "I lift my eyes to the hills, my help comes from the hills." But if you listen in the Christian Standard Version that Joellen read, it says, "I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from?" Note that the writer makes a statement and then seemingly turning inward as if talking to himself is asking the question, "Where does my help come from?" That question certainly applies to us today. Several weeks back, you had the opportunity to watch a video where my wife Joellen and I were talking a bit about the journey of our marriage. It still amazes me to think that just 3 days from now, on December 30th, we'll be celebrating our 48th anniversary. God has been good. In the video, you may recall that there were times along the way we were struggling and we were asking lots of questions. Questions like, how do we fix this? Who's going to help us? Where do we turn? Maybe you've had moments like that as well, where you've looked around and you've seen other people. Who seem to be getting what they want out of life, a newer car, a bigger house, a better job with higher wages. And you felt like, wait up just a minute. Where's my help coming from? When do I get a break? Well, these questions are really calling us to remember. They're instances reminding us where our help comes from. And it doesn't come from something carved out of wood or stone. It doesn't even come from any or all of the preparation for the trip or my ability to defend myself against robbers. Verse 2 says it, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He made the mountains." Mountains are an image of strength. In Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore." There are many significant events in the Bible which occurred on mountains. Abram took Isaac up on Mount Moriah. The giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Elijah's epic showdown with the 450 worshipers of Baal on Mount Carmel. And of course, for us, the crucifixion of Jesus on Mount Calvary. The psalmist is recognizing the need for our help. In verses 3-8, he identifies promises for help along our journey. He's looked around at the mountains. He's looked inward at himself. And then he looks upward, recognizing that his help comes from God alone, who made the heavens and the earth. He recognizes, as should we, that the presence of danger or calamity does not equal the absence of God. In verses 3 and 4, we read, "He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber." Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. And likewise, in Psalm 66, verse 9, he says, "He keeps us alive and does not allow our feet to slip." These verses indicate that God perceives you. He sees you. He knows you. Such as in Matthew 10, verse 30, where we read, but even the hairs of your head have all been counted. As I was doing some preparation for this sermon, I listened to a message by Pastor David Jeremiah, and he recounted that as he was going through cancer treatments, he lost his hair twice, and then it grew back twice. Interesting, it's kind of a ha-ha moment that God counted his hairs on his head a couple of times. But anyway, the point he made was that if God knows how many hairs are on your head, doesn't it make sense that he's aware of the bigger things that are happening and the situations you're facing in your life? So with that in mind, let's look at verses 5 and 6. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord protects you. Traveling through the desert on our journey up to Jerusalem, those on the way would be aware of the risk of dehydration, heat stroke. They knew the dangers of the desert climate. And as the day would give way to night, the thought of protection from the fears that arise in the darkness and protection from these was brought out. The psalmist is recording the promise of protection from physical dangers, but also bringing to mind the protection from dangers along our spiritual journey. We each have our own fears of darkness. Is there a child anywhere in our developed countries that doesn't have a nightlight? And as we grow older, we have more nightlights than we did when our children were little. Of course, our nightlights are not for unknown fears of the darkness, but more likely to protect us from stepping on Legos or other objects or crashing into furniture as we navigate through well-known territory. Well, for example, when our children were small, they had fears of the darkness in their bedrooms, whether it was the shadows in the corner or hearing something under the bed or in the closet. When the light was turned on, they could examine all the corners of the room where the shadows once were. They could look under the bed or in the closet and see danger is not as real as was thought. But likewise, God protects us on our spiritual journey. For a certain, that is a lesser known territory with us, with many dangers and distractions to cause difficulties in growing to become more like Christ. God's word becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It allows us to examine the world around us from God's perspective, and it steals the power the darkness once had. So as God perceives you and he protects you, he also preserves you. In verses 7 and 8, the Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. The Lord preserves us from evil. Bad things and things we don't want to happen do happen, but God is in control. He'll keep these things from drawing you away from him. He preserves your soul, better known as your existence. The Hebrew word used in this verse indicates life, but life is more than womb to tomb. It's much more than this earthly existence. And he preserves us every day, our coming and our going. Many Jewish people have small metal boxes mounted on the inside and outside of their door jambs to their houses. This box is called a mezuzah. It contains a portion of scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. And as the person leaves their house and as they return home, they'll run their fingers across that box and they repeat some of the scripture, always ending with words about God watching over their going out and their coming in. The going out and the coming are the everyday activities of life. And God preserves us eternally, for all time, not just now. We only understand the depth of that promise as we read the scriptures where we gain wisdom and learn God's perspective that is greater than our current situation. The wisdom and perspective we gain are the result of the scriptures being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I'm reminded that as I'm going down a path with a lamp, I can't see the whole path. I can only see the next step, maybe a couple more. But God is preserving us for that path. I stole this from another sermon, but it's meant so much that I thought it was valuable for us here. Author Eugene Peterson wrote, "The Christian life is not a quiet walk in a garden where we can walk and talk interruptedly with our Lord. Nor is it a fantasy trip to a heavenly city where we can compare blue ribbons and gold medals with others that made it to the winner's circle. No, the Christian life is going to God. In going to God, Christians travel the same ground everyone else walks on, breathe the same air, drink the same water, shop in the same stores, read the same newspapers or online blogs, are citizens under the same government, pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline, fear the same dangers, are subject to the same pressures, get the same distresses, and are hurled into the same ground. But the difference is each step we walk, each breath we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God. We know we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure, what accidents we experience, the Lord will preserve us from evil. He will keep our life." All of this about God perceiving and protecting and preserving us sounds great. But maybe you're one of those that found 2020 to be a particularly rough year. You're looking at Psalm 121 and saying, "Well, that's great that God's our protector and shield and provider and whatnot, but I haven't seen him doing that for me." And if that's you, notice in Psalm 121 the care God has for the weary and fearful traveler. God, who created the mountains, knew that we would have trials, knew that we would fail. It would be impossible for us to manage on our own. He has his heart set on you and is determined to help you reach the finish line of faith. If you've been here with us at River City through the past year, you've heard the sermon series on the story of God. In our recent series on We're Not Home, God created us to be in a relationship with him. And it's not a smattering of little gods around the mountains that protect you on your journey. It's because there's one mountain just outside of Jerusalem called Calvary, where the maker of heaven and earth, the Son of God, hung on a Roman cross in the place of sinners. Jesus was the sacrifice God required of those who called on his name. And in his living and dying, he made the journey to us instead of demanding that we make the impossible journey to God. Perhaps Joseph and Mary recited Psalm 121 on their journey to Bethlehem, bringing us the source of our joy. There is no penance to pay, no more sacrifices to make, no more earning God's favor, because Jesus accomplished it all on the cross. Because when God raised Jesus from the dead, it proved that God accepted that sacrifice of his Son in your place. You stand free and clear of the sin that once kept you from God. Jesus is the light that shone in the darkness. John 1 says, "And though through him we can see the hard things, the good things, the challenging things of this world from a different perspective." What Paul says in Romans 8, 38 and 39 is a sure promise for all who are members of the family of Christ. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." These are the promises that are given to those who know God and have received the free gift of his grace in Jesus. Maybe you're on the Zoom call today, or you're watching on Facebook, and you haven't done that. The things of this past year have shaken you, and you're fearful about what is ahead. We plead with you this morning, receive the grace of Jesus. Repent of your sin and begin to follow Jesus. He is the light that shines in the darkness to bring hope and peace when nothing else can. Or maybe you're joining us this morning and you just need a reminder that God has got you. He's not leaving you. He hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, he's quite close. But you've stopped looking at the mountain with the cross and the empty tomb. And instead, you've been looking at the mountains of fear, worry, guilt, and so on. Be reminded today that Jesus moved the biggest mountain of all, the mountain of your sin. As Psalm 121 says, lift up your eyes to that hill and see your help has already come. If you'd like prayer or would like to speak to someone further about what this means, please let us know in the chat or send a message on Facebook if you're watching online so that we can pray with you. Gracious Heavenly Father God, we are truly blessed to be called your people. You have been with us through ages. You have been faithful to generation upon generation. Thank you for the gift that came wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, but came for a purpose far greater, came to be the sacrifice, to stand in our place, so that we might be seen righteous by you and join you in the heavenly choirs. Lord, we just lift up all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.